Pastor James McCarroll of the First Baptist Church in the beautiful city of Murfreesboro, Tennessee. I want to thank you for tuning in to hear my dear friend Sharon Kay with What's the 411. She is my favorite talk show host.
That's why I love you and your mama. I enjoyed him when he was here that time, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was very good. Anyway, hello Nashville and all the wonderful and lovely folks out there. It is like really super warm, you know. It's just different this Sunday morning. Some Sunday mornings it has been cold. Not today. I mean, but it's going to change as usual. Everything changes. Nothing stays the same. But I think we're going to try to do some same today. Some news and some comments, as usual. Headlines. I'm going to talk next hour to Dr. Ron Ramsey. His name may sound a tiny bit familiar with the show. He was supposed to be on months ago when it snowed. And it was iced in whole nine. So I told him I would reschedule him. And he is going to be with me today to talk about his book, 40 Days to Forgiveness. Can you do it is the question. A Christian's Field Guide to the Forgiveness Journey. And that's a hard one for a lot of people. You know, it's a lot of folks that can't, you know, ever forgive. So we'll be discussing that today, forgiveness and reaching emotional peace. Because at the end of the day, that's really where you want to have is some peace in your life, for sure. How was your weekend? Well, you know, whenever I ask you that on Sundays, I'm like, mm-hmm. It's so short. You know, it's not like you had 5 days or I had 5 days. Mm-hmm. But how was it?
It was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was okay. Short, as you said.
Totally. And, you know, it just, I wanted to do stuff, but then I said, nah. You know, I was getting all mental up, you know, before I got my engine crank. And when I, after I got to the point that it was actually time to do it, mm-hmm. I didn't do it. And that is not productive. But Saturday, I mean, you know, I just wasn't going to do it. And I didn't want to do it. So I didn't do it, you know, just a little tiny bit. But I just, you know, I see it as I just didn't do it. Nothing. And then my time is up.
Yeah.
So, because it's time, you know, we're back to work now. And so, you know, I didn't want to spend my whole day dusting and cleaning, even though you have to do that dusting, man. It's so dusty. Hasn't it just been dusty?
It has.
You know,
yeah.
With,
yeah.
And the pollen season
is upon everybody.
Yeah. So, knowing that's the case, a lot of you all have sinus issues you've been dealing with, and they are going to continue for a while. Now, let's see what we got here in today's headlines. And this is Bloody Sunday, and we'll talk about that in a minute, and which is being commemorated, started Thursday, and we'll talk about that in the newscast here. Let's see what we got. Let me start in Nashville. A Tennessee senator who has been indicted on charges that he violated federal campaign finance laws has announced that he won't seek re-election. In his Friday announcement on Twitter, Republican Senator Brian Kelsey said his decision had been influenced by a recent exciting change to his personal life. Exciting change. Well, that's interesting. I wonder what that is. And I look forward to spending more time with my family. Okay, well, that can only be one of a few things. In October, a federal, if it's exciting, you know, if it was like sickness, baby, maybe, something like that. Just guessing. Don't say sure in case say it, because I'm just guessing. I'm just trying to figure it out. Because he certainly didn't win the lottery. Mm-hmm. Okay. In October, a federal grand jury in Nashville handed down a 5-count indictment against Kelsey and a Nashville social club owner. They are accused of illegally concealing the transfer of $91,000 during Kelsey's 2016 failed congressional campaign. Kelsey has described the charges as, quote, a political witch hunt, end quote, and maintained that he's totally innocent. Now, when he says political witch hunt, I bet he's a Republican. What do you think? Mm-hmm. Okay. Have they ever found any witches on that hunt?
No.
Okay. It's just interesting how they've been for 5 years hunting for witches and haven't found a single one.
Like that guy who's been under audit for, what, 6 years now?
Yeah.
And still ain't seen those taxes?
No.
Yeah.
So, maybe they don't exist.
Maybe not.
Well, it should be a witch hunt. Looking for the witches.
I think that's been used so much now that people don't even believe it anymore.
No,
It used to have some sort of signal, but now, it's like, you know what?
For B plus.
Some excuse to just go out there, yeah.
So, anyway. Yeah, that's the out of the Republican playbook, I think. It's on page 6.
Yeah, but it's over now. That's sort of like, I'm innocent. I look forward to vindicating myself in a court of law. That kind of excuse when people say that.
No, it's I'm saying I'm guilty, y'all.
Yeah.
And I don't want to admit it. Yeah. That's what that's saying. Smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
Anyway, also, let's see. Let me look at Memphis here right quick. A Tennessee state representative has been appointed to temporarily replace a Democratic lawmaker who was ousted from her position by the Republican-led state Senate because of a federal wire fraud conviction. The Shelby County Commission in Memphis chose State Representative London Lamar to fill the state Senate seat formerly held by Katrina Robinson during an hours-long meeting on Thursday that featured several votes. Robinson was ousted from her position by fellow senators during a February 2nd session. Lamar will step down from her House seat and serve on an interim basis in the Senate until the November 8th election. I think that makes her the youngest senator.
Mm-hmm.
And everything. So, it'll be interesting to see how that turns out. But Katrina Robinson is done.
Yeah.
In state
government. Yeah, that's true.
She is done. What do we have here? State House, more State House. Let me stay in the State House for a minute. I kind of touched on this Wednesday when State Representative Vincent Dixie was on the show, and I was asking him about some of the legislation of recent and discussions of recent coming out of the Capitol Hill. And this is one of those pieces. GOP legislative leaders continue to push that parents need more transparency on what students are being exposed to inside Tennessee's public schools. They make it sound like the teachers have time to push porn. I mean, you know, if you think about porn all the time, does that mean that you're the one that's looking at it? What does that really mean? Because they are so terribly concerned. And I'm like, I just can't imagine, because those teachers are parents themselves, and some of them even grandparents or aunties or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, they know Jesus, or a lot of them do. They, you know, have communities of faith. What do you think? They're just a bunch of...
It's smoke and mirrors.
It is a cancel deal, but it's also stupid, okay, to think that librarians and teachers, all they do is sit around and think about this stuff. Are y'all serious? Okay.
It's a way.
Step into a school, would you?
Yeah, it's a way of keeping the real issue of why there's not an expanded Medicare system in Tennessee and why you want to expand the Affordable Care Act in Tennessee. So instead of talking about those things, they'd rather talk about, you know,
witches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those on are the hunt.
That should be important.
They're on parents. The hunt.
Yeah. They don't want to talk about that. Yeah.
For any sign of anything. But a handful of the legislators conceded the arguments recently used to condemn teachers and libraries had crossed the line. I will say I'm glad somebody has said something. While talking to reporters this week, Senate Speaker Randy McNally said he did not agree with unfounded allegations that the librarians who defended certain controversial literary works were helping groom children to become desensitized to sexual abuse and pornography. What books were those? Because yeah. I don't remember any book.
Yeah.
And when I went to school in the library, I mean, I wasn't in the library every minute of every day combing the books looking for, you know, porn or sexual abuse. I wasn't doing that. You know, I mean, maybe I don't know why this is constantly on the minds of these people. Kind of make you wonder.
Because everything is a soundbite now.
Well,
it's just, they just say it so they can get sensationalized, so they can get in front of the TV camera or radio show.
It's just to
sensationalize and to drive up fear or to push a narrative. And then to the parents, like, really? You all are falling for this? You all don't know what your kids are learning in
school?
Have
they looked at their internet lately?
Well, shame on y'all. Shame on your
parents.
Have
you been online lately?
Yeah. If you are falling for any parent that thinks that you're falling for the shenanigans, then you know what? You deserve exactly what you get.
Well, you know, I really find it just really hard to believe that all of a sudden, there's all these nasty books in this. I don't believe that. I simply do not. And because I've read this to kids before in schools and in the libraries, and I have a great deal of respect for the libraries and the teachers because they put up with all y'all's children and grandchildren. And, you know, church said amen on that because a lot of y'all's kids and grandkids are not sanctified saints. And
parents learned that during the pandemic.
Yeah, they did. And some still learning now. Having said that, I really think that this is several bridges too far. It's just this has gone too terribly far when you try to sanitize every shelf, everything. What is in your mind? And that would be where my mind is what is really going on with you? You think everything. Anyway, House Republican Caucus Chairman Jeremy Faison described such arguments as invalid. Still, legislative leaders say more transparency is needed to help parents know what materials their students are consuming while at school. Well, go read to the kids.
Yeah.
Volunteer to work in the library.
There you go.
I mean, you know, what is up with that?
Exactly.
They have an opportunity to not just storm the school board and take a bulldozer to everything about education, but do some things to be constructive to help the school.
They don't want to.
To sit there and...
It's just rhetoric.
And then to tell this stuff to their kids.
Yeah.
And then poison the minds of their kids with this stuff. I mean, it's just like the poor children.
Yeah.
I know. Just the poor kids, you know. Because they probably don't even know what these people are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't bring things to the little ones' attention, they may not know. As soon as you shine a light on it, there it is. You all know that. Good Lord.
Where's the education?
You tell your child, don't do such and such, and doggone it, they're not going to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way it's always been. That's not
this
new.
This is where, I guess, whoever the education secretary is of the United States, that's falling through the cracks. Need to speak up, you know, step up and say something. Push back against this nonsense.
Well, I mean, there's not so much they can do because this is a state.
But they can say something.
It still doesn't matter because this is the state of Tennessee.
Yeah, but they
and
can.
The Tennessee education head is Governor Lee appointee. But she is not about to say anything.
But this kind of stuff is going on around the country.
It is.
They can say something. Right now, they had said anything.
Each individual state and legislators need to say something and call it what it is.
Yeah.
And it's the utter foolishness of just constantly whirling around seas of discord. And that's all that y'all are doing. Now, back in Nashville, well, y'all just do discord at the Capitol all the time. What are you doing? Wasting time sowing seeds of discord. Let's keep the people all tore up in Tennessee. Lord, Lord. Two Nashville couples have been charged with murder and separate drug-related deaths of children. Nashville police said this week that two grandparents were arrested in connection with the death of their 20-month-old grandson, while a woman and her partner were charged in the death of her nearly one-year-old niece. Charles Allen Sr. and Yolanda Newsom were caring for Corin Newsom in August when he stopped breathing and later died. A toxicology test found that he had enough fentanyl in his system to kill an adult. Elena Shadowins was staying with Roland Spencer and Christy Shadowins in January of 2021. When she was found unresponsive, the medical examiner determined she died of meth toxicity. Let's work on the drug problems in Tennessee. What about the issues with meth? And what about the issues with the opioids and the pills? What about that? That should be very, very at the top of your list. Because this stuff in this state and in other states is absolutely out of control. Let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
Listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810. 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
You make me feel good inside.
On the next Jazz Night in America, Renee Marie, the vocalist and songwriter on what it means to be vulnerable.
I don't see the sense in singing empty songs or songs void of some type of oomph.
That's on the next Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. Catch Jazz Night in America every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. and Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. here at listener-supported Jazzy 88.
Support for WFSK comes from the Frist Art Museum, now presenting an exhibition of works by Nashville-based artist Alexander Bryant, addressing themes of perseverance, family, economic inequality, and community activism. This multimedia exposition includes photography, video, wheat-based murals, and a concrete installation piece created exclusively for this show. The Frist is open Thursdays through Sundays, and the exhibition is on view through May 1st. Learn more about the expositions and programs at fristartmuseum.org.
We're often influenced by what we see and hear online. Researchers say Black communities have been specifically targeted online by bad actors that post false information about cultural issues, attempting to increase divisions in Black communities, influence how we vote, and influence public opinions. Here's how to stop the spread of cultural disinformation. Get information from reliable sources like experts, researchers, or organizations. make sure you're not misled by information or quotes shared out of context. Check the account. Was it recently created or has zero followers? It may be a troll bot. If a story seems suspicious, don't share it with your followers. Together, we can stay informed and empowered. This public service announcement is from the National Black Cultural Information Trust. Learn more at nvcit.org.
When I was in Iraq, our convoy was hit. It was bad. After I came home, I could still hear booms and see tracer fire. Makes it hard to be a good mom.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
I'm Naomi Mathis, Air Force veteran.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories great and small.
With help from DAV, I was able to begin to heal.
DAV provides a lifetime of support to veterans of every generation, helping more than a million veterans each year.
Today, I'm part of DAV. We're veterans helping veterans to get the benefits they've earned. And I give my veterans my all.
But there's more to be done and more victories to be won.
My victory is being able to be here for my children.
Naomi Mathis, thank you for your service. And may your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
This has been a reminder from community-minded Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Already Nashville, Sharon Kay is in it, and that's the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK, Historic Fisk University. Now, here's how it's looking for the weather today. It's going to be, you know, I hate it when it gets too warm, too fast, and then chances for rain. Mm-hmm. You know, that combo
brings about some other stuff.
Oh, it does. And I, you know, anyway, because Tennessee has become quite the tornado alley, you know. It really has. Wasn't like that when I first moved here. Anyway, we have about a 30% chance for some thunderstorms this afternoon. Maybe you might get in and out of service today, maybe. Some of you all might not have to carry the umbrellas, or maybe you might be on your way home. Now, the showers are between 1 and 2. So, depending on what time it's over. And 77 for the high today. And the wind is up. Did you notice that this morning? Mm-hmm. It was up.
Yep.
It's going to gust up to maybe 25 miles per hour. So you got to...
You can feel it.
Yeah. That's what I thought. I said, I don't see the trees moving very hard. But my car was kind of, you know. Anyway, tonight, 64. Not bad. 40% chance for rain. So we're going to definitely see some rain. Tomorrow, 90%. Back to work. Thunderstorms for you. As you get to going back to work, they National Weather Services mainly, before 3 o'clock. So maybe you'll be able to get home from work and not have to be in the afternoon storms on the way home. The temperature is going to start going down some, and it'll be noticeably different than last week when it was almost 80, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That just messed your mind up. You just didn't know how to dress or what to do. I mean, you know, is it time to people dropping tops on their cars and, you know, going out and flip-flops and all that stuff? Anyway, 69 for tomorrow, so it's already about a 10-degree difference. 35 by tomorrow night, so it's get the coats back. Can't put them away just yet. And on Tuesday... 54. So as you see, the whole week is going to be, and that's really seasonable. That's about what it normally is. So, but we have Tuesday night and Wednesday. Tuesday night, some 50% chance for rain. and 39, and then back up, bounces up Wednesday to about 58 degrees. So we got a couple days of the showers, and you know how it does. And we're getting the April showers in March, aren't we? Apparently so.
Before April.
Yeah, yeah. 67 degrees and mostly cloudy. Maybe a tablespoon of sun might peek out every now and then. But 67 is where we sit right now. And let me see, get back to these headlines. And at 8 o'clock, you know, the book is 40 Days to Forgiveness. And hopefully some of you all are already there on your way. If you're thinking about forgiveness for somebody, and maybe this can get you on the path. The discussion is on forgiveness and reaching emotional peace over the days. And the guest is Dr. Ron Ramsey. He's a clinical chaplain and author of the book 40 Days to Forgiveness, a Christian's field guide to the forgiveness journey. And he'll be chatting about that at 8 o'clock. Now, let's see, back to what's going on here in this city, this state. Tennessee has set 3 new execution dates for inmates in 2022, driving the total number of executions planned this year to 5. The state temporarily halted executions during the pandemic, but is currently planning 1 execution every other month beginning next month. Mm. The new dates set last week include August 18th execution date for Byron Black, a October 6th execution date for Gary Sutton, and a December 8th execution date for Donald Middlebrooks. During the pandemic pause on executions, 2 inmates were removed from death row. A judge found one to be intellectually disabled. A judge found the other's trial was tainted by racism during jury selection. So they're trying to hurry up and process them through. Mm. So there's no time to find out if, you know. So we'll see how that goes. Because that's been a long time. Anti-execution, death penalty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Long time issue, decades of that issue. So I imagine the folks that have been on the battlefield on no death penalty will be rallying
out
back
there
up again.
Yeah.
Oh, a lot, yeah, I'm sure. Anyway, because you know the issues, they just keep recycling.
They
just recycle. So now, out of Los Angeles, Ukrainians in the U.S. are reacting to a move by President Biden to grant them humanitarian relief, known as temporary protected status, after Russia invaded their country. The move could protect thousands from being deported to their embattled nation. What a relief that would be for them not to go have to be sent back there. For what? I mean, it's being bombed to smithereens.
Yeah.
And it's so shameful, that whole situation.
It
is beyond the pale. We're watching a madman in action. Ukrainians can remain in the country for up to 18 months under the federal program. Estimates show that about 75,100 Ukrainians are expected to be eligible. In Cambridge, Massachusetts, Ukrainian national Nika Rudenko says she'll consider seeking TPS if she decides to take leave from college and can't meet the requirements of her student visa. I bet there's a lot of students in this area that, you know, go to all the schools, since we have so many schools.
Yeah.
In the area?
Because they had a protest rally at the
downtown.
Yeah, right downtown yesterday in front of the courthouse.
Yeah, they've been having them almost every day. But I mean on the college campuses, the students.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think.
I'm sure.
Over at Vanderbilt.
Vandy and Belmont, some of those other, yeah.
They had some.
More
larger populations.
Yeah, institutions, yeah. Yep.
And they I mean, what is it, like 10,000 kids or mm-hmm. So, and Belmont is like right behind that. Thousands and thousands and thousands.
A lot of them, what you call them, are international students, just like we've had international students here. And we probably have, and we have professors here who are from those areas, like, you know, the ones who, you know, work with us. So, yeah. Our neighbors, yeah. Our co-workers, our fellow students, they're part of our everyday society. Yeah. Yeah.
They're doing the best they can.
Yeah.
And it's so, it just, this thing is just so off the chart.
Sad.
It is off the chart. Yeah. I mean, it just, there's no, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's just, he's a madman, period. Yeah. We're watching the modern day Adolf Hitler. Mm-hmm. That's what we're watching. Mm-hmm. And the only person that would think he was a genius was another madman.
Yeah. We're watching pure evil.
Beyond this pale.
Pure evil.
Uncut, unbridled.
Because the things that he is doing, he's been doing them.
And the threat
getting
of the world.
Away with it. And the threatening of the world is because he's scared and embarrassed. So.
No, I just think he's just a madman.
He is, but he's been exposed. So that's what makes him more
he
erratic.
He had been exposed a long time.
But not like this. Not like this.
Well, he took over Crimea, and he's been gobbling.
That's true. That's true, but in this particular case, because Joe Biden, President Biden, shared the actual intelligence with the rest of NATO, and then he had his Secretary of Defense come out and give these press conferences every day that pretty much told everybody what Putin was going to do in real time. It didn't give Putin the opportunity to do what's called these staged events where he would say he would have these people come out and pretend like Ukraine was doing this and doing that under the cover of being able to go in and cause war. So we watched it in real time. And so people have been paying attention and watching it in real time. And so he's been exposed.
Well, one of the things that happened that I noticed was when the current administration was warning the people and telling them they weren't buying it. Mm-hmm. They didn't believe that he would be that low down. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
right,
the
really?
Rest of the world is telling them,
they've been paying attention,
don't be trusting this, okay. And here it comes. And they did not heed their warning mm-hmm. as they could have. And I think, you know, some of that, because a lot of them just didn't believe it up till it happened.
Yeah.
And I hated seeing that they would trust. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, there's such a blending of families and culture there mm-hmm. that it's not funny. I mean, it's hard to separate the wheat from the chaff because a lot of people, they, you know, back and forth, and they just to blow things to smithereens just for the sake of doing it, mm-hmm. targeting hospitals and schools and hurting children.
That's the erraticness of it, because he's angry, and so he's taking it out on the actual
people. I don't even think this is about anger.
Oh.
I think this is about he is out of his ever-loving mind.
He's trying to punish the people for actually fighting back and trying to break them by destroying their properties,
their
places to go, so that if his soldiers ever get into those areas, he will have broken more of their will to try to fight back. But I just, you know.
Well, and, you know, I think if they had not had a strong
President
Zelensky,
yeah.
then
that's the key.
If he'd have cut and run,
yeah.
they would have folded. Mm-hmm. But because of his strength.
Because they know he's still there.
Yeah, because of his strength. And he's the one that Donald Trump tried to break.
Yep.
Remember?
Republicans didn't, you know.
He's the person. He didn't, you know, fall for it.
That's what the last Republican president got impeached over. And y'all didn't remove him then because y'all didn't think that he did anything wrong.
Well.
What was it Pat Robertson said? It was just a phone call.
Yeah, well, whatever. maybe that's why folks aren't really paying attention to what he's saying.
Yeah.
You know, I just, you know, to me, this is
I need these doubling misses.
This is like World War II. We're watching.
Yeah, but I need you to do me a favor first.
We're watching this before our very eyes.
Yeah.
And that is really the, and how it has tentacles across the world.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the pricing of everything and all of the world being destabilized, that is a place I don't know if a lot of the people alive today, now I know the older ones would remember, for it to be this destabilized globally, because he's not the only madman out there. There were five nations that, you know, have stood by him, and China being one, and Mexico being one. I'm like, Mexico, what do you have to do with this? You know what?
Oil.
What?
But, you know, this could be globally, especially since this is one of the things that Joe Biden was trying to push and see ran for office, which is trying to break our dependence on oil and move off of the fossil fuels into a more clean energy and electric type of way of life. And this could be one of the things that helps really push that ball a little further.
Well, and one of the things that I was, you know, been watching this electric car, clean fuel thing, and, you know, just from different perspectives of it. And the lithium for the making of the batteries.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it's not in enough of it, it's not in this country, we're going to be in the same boat we're in right now, because there's nothing worse than a dead battery. Can I get some witnesses? Okay, there's nothing worse than that.
AAA.
And what if their battery's dead? Okay, so I'm just saying that because we saw what it did with the chips in the cars and how it messed up the supply chain for vehicles and various other things. So I know it's going to be constant. That's the way life is.
But we don't have a choice. Because while we're still debating on whether we should move in that direction, other countries like Japan and other, you know, they've already moved so far ahead of us in those areas. And so, you know, as we see, when these things happen and people hold this over your head like oil.
The way the globe is, everybody is interdependent on each other.
Gotta move off
the
oil.
They truly are.
Gotta move off the oil.
Let me tell you how.
Yeah.
Well, oil is one thing, but let me just read this one.
Mm-hmm.
The Russian tanks and missiles besieging Ukraine are also threatening the food supplies and livelihoods of people in Europe, Africa, and Asia who rely on the vast fertile farmlands known as the breadbasket of the world. Russia and Ukraine combine for nearly a third of the world's wheat and barley exports and provide large amounts of corn and cooking oils. The war, and you know how much oil is used around here, y'all be frying up some stuff. The war has sent wheat prices up 55% since a week before the invasion and could reduce food supplies just when prices are at their highest since 2011.
Mm-hmm.
That could create food insecurity and throw more people into poverty in places like Egypt and Lebanon, where diets are dominated by government-subsidized bread. So now we're going to find bread so high we can't afford it.
We're going to have to find new trade partners.
You know, bread sticks to you, maybe I don't need any.
We're watching I think we're going to watch a global realignment of products and services.
Everything. Mm-hmm. We're so interdependent on each other.
Yeah.
Every nation does so much with each other.
Yeah.
It is very, very hard to for somebody to just say, okay, I declare war, boom, and it's not going to disrupt something. I mean, come on, seriously, and not going to do it?
Yeah.
This is a madman.
Yep.
And we're watching it
in real time. He's been using those cards to get away with the things that he's been getting away with until now.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm so glad the Father has the last word on it all. And you all know that. So I am so grateful that Vladimir Putin is not the Most High. The Most High, El Shaddai, our God, our Savior, that's who's got the last word. Let's take a time out. And we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810. 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Don't miss WFSK's Artist of the Week Thursdays right here on Nashville's Jazz Station. That's where we put the spotlight on new releases. Coming up this week, we'll shine the bright light on the legendary Bob James with 6 decades of jazz excellence. We'll feature some of the cuts from his latest release, Feel Like Making Live. You'll hear from Bob in a live interview and win his brand new release. That's WFSK Artist of the Week on Nashville's Jazz Station. We're Jazzy 88 WFSK. Support for WFSK comes from City Winery, marching towards spring, featuring 4 shows with the contemporary jazz music fans in mind. On Friday, March 18th, famed vocalist pianist Olita Adams at 8 p.m. On Monday, March 21st, it's the amazing Osnoy Trio, featuring Dennis Chambers and Jimmy Haslip. Coming up on Thursday evening, March 24th, one of Nashville's very own, the Rahsaan Barber Quartet album release show in the lounge, and let the great music continue to flow on Saturday, March 26th, as pianist producer Marcus Johnson is in the lounge at 7 p.m. For tickets and information, visit citywinery.com. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. Now, getting back to some of these headlines and checking to see what's going on around the region. Let me see. Let me go to Selma, Alabama. Vice President Kamala Harris will visit Alabama as the nation marks a defining moment in the fight for the right to vote. Harris will speak in Selma today to mark the 57th anniversary of Bloody Sunday. State troopers on March 7, 1965, beat and tear-gassed peaceful demonstrators attempting to cross the Edmund Pettus Bridge, including young activist John Lewis, who later became a longtime Georgia congressman. The images of the violence shocked the nation, yes they did, and helped galvanize support for passage of the Voting Rights Act. And her visit to the city that served as the cradle of that act comes as Democrats have unsuccessfully tried to update the landmark law and pass additional measures to make it more convenient for people to vote. Shame. The legislation named for Lewis, who died in 2020, is part of a broader elections package that collapsed in the U.S. Senate in February. Visiting Alabama during a congressional pilgrimage, that coincides with the anniversary. House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer, a Democrat of Maryland, said he hoped that some compromise bill might be able to save the voting rights bill named for Lewis. The John Lewis bill means means a lot to us because so many of us worked together on the bill, with John becoming the leader and the inspiration. And Steny Hoyer made those comments during an interview in Birmingham over the weekend. The U.S. Supreme Court in 2013 gutted a portion of the 1965 law that required certain states with a history of discrimination in voting, mainly in the South, to get U.S. Department of Justice approval before changing the way they could hold elections. So Clarence Thomas been there all this time, and he never votes to help us. You know, he's always voting to hurt. You know, it's amazing to me how, you know, I remember when, I don't know if you are old enough to remember
those
when.
Those are Hill hearings.
Yes.
I remember those.
Oh, do you? Mm-hmm. Okay. And, you know, he
used affirmative action. Affirmative action got him his job.
Well, I mean.
And then he turned around and pulled the ladder up and blocked everybody else from coming behind
him. He has just blocked everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, not just a little bit of stuff, but anything and everything. And it's this, you know, I despise people thing. I'm trying to understand where does that come from and why? Why the hate for certain citizens? I mean, you know, you may or may not like them, but why hate them?
Self-hate.
You know?
That's self-hate.
It's just too much. I did see something that kind of quasi from the campus here today. Now, I'm just guessing that the person's name on here that is one of the speakers is likely the one that's getting the job, okay? Because she is the only one who is in sports. So, clearly, because it, you know, they're having a press conference on the campus on Wednesday at 12.
Okay.
And the university is to announce the new coach that's going to lead the gymnastics program.
Hmm.
And that press conference will include Fisk University President Dr. Van Newkirk Sr., Dr. Jens Fredrickson, Executive Vice President of Fisk, that we just call Jens. Dr. Latar Garvin, Associate Provost Student Affairs of Fisk University. Dr. Harriet Kimbrough Hamilton in sports. Okay, so far with the list, one more person. Frank Simmons, member, Board of Trustees, Fisk. Now, of the five, which do you think is going to be named?
That's interesting.
Okay, because it doesn't specifically say, but you can infer, and I'm inferring. And that's on Wednesday at 12 at in Jubilee Hall in the Appleton Room. And they'll have the Zooming of these other people, and there'll be a few people sitting in the the president will be over there, and the folks here on the campus. So, you want to bet?
I don't know. Who do you think?
I mean, I just already just said it. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. To me, it's like this, the way it's written.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm just being a newswoman. I'm just like, duh, looks like her. I mean, because the rest of them aren't, you know.
Yeah.
And she was at the first announcement.
Yeah.
That they made, so. And you know that she's been on the show before
several times. That's right.
For writing the book on the Negro Leagues.
That's right.
And her book on that subject. So, we'll see. So, That one is one I don't think you should bet on.
Okay.
Yeah, just, you know, save whatever you got. Save whatever you got. Because it looks pretty obvious. Have you noticed how the there's a lot of increasing of political signs?
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot more candidates. It seems like, you know, every day, it looks like there's an abundance of judge signs.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that.
A ton of them. And they're everywhere, literally. And I saw two, and if there's a third one, I don't know it yet, of the county clerk.
Yeah,
when did that become such a high position?
I don't know, but it is now.
I'm just saying, what is it? I mean, I just never...
anticipated.
No, I'm just like, you know, Wow, is this going to be exciting? You know. So we're going to have to gear up for that. But I think I've seen about 10 or 15 names for judge.
Yeah.
And in the Glenn Funk's position, was he district attorney?
District attorney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw a couple of names on his and somebody else's. So that one's going to be interesting. There's going to be a lot coming up. And
yeah, this is just the beginning, especially since this redistricting is taking place. Not just this, but just things are just... Okay, Nashville. Okay.
Well, I mean, these seats that I'm seeing, mm-hmm. now, the one that I see that would be the most, where they're probably going to try to put somebody up, which I see they have, to knock off Glenn Funk, is his stance on marijuana, small marijuana purchases, mm-hmm. and people not feeling that, or certain things he's done. Mm-hmm. He didn't go in the direction that
of the right wing sort of.
I'm just saying it's flapping the right.
Gotcha.
I mean, just if you just go,
they want to lock everybody up except people who commit treason, maybe, and you know, coerce and do a slew of other things. Everybody else can go to jail for, you know.
Everything.
Smoking a joint, but, you know, but that person can just do, they can just flaunt the law.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Speaking of which, tonight, I think 8 p.m., Lester Holt would do an interview with the former Attorney General of the United States, what was his name, Bill Barr. Now, normally I wouldn't watch anything like that, but because it's Lester Holt, you know, got to support him.
He's selling a book.
True, but if you've seen the previews, he gives some, he talks about the big lie.
He's selling a book.
Yeah, but you know,
he's been squirting stuff out.
Yeah.
And he's been squirting, and, you know, he got the squirts.
But
okay.
I want to see him selling a book. This big lie.
He's selling a book. And he's doing the book tour.
Yes, he is.
Okay, and this is what you do.
This is what you do. That's what they've all planned on doing. No matter how egregious they saw things going
everybody
thought,
"Well,
I'm gonna save this for my book. I'm not gonna stop. I'm not gonna actually stop these crimes that I see going on around me."
Selling a book.
I'm gonna wait till the coast is clear.
This is the dog and pony show.
And
Lester Holt is no small name in news.
Exactly.
Okay? So. You know, I just, you know, all I know is he knows the stuff is wrong, and he's always known it.
And
he got the job by lying.
Exactly.
And he was going to lie, now he's going to sell a book, and people are going to try to make him wealthy.
Those last two Supreme Court justices got their positions by doing the same thing.
Just lie.
Well, I believe that everything is settled precedent, so there's no need to overturn Roe v. Wade. I just would not.
Settle law.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is, so why are you uprooting the Voting Rights Act and
all
the other
stuff?
So, happen to see Saturday Night Live's opening skit?
I didn't.
I stayed awake specifically for that.
I heard about it.
It was
going to
be hard, because I said, as soon as I get comfortable, I'm over. And it was just... classic.
They nailed it. I heard it. I saw it on the front of Yahoo News.
Tucker Carlson,
mm-hmm.
Laura Ingram,
cheering yep. on Vladimir Putin. Yep. And I was like, this is priceless.
Yes. I recorded just, it. I'm going to watch it tonight.
They just nailed it. And, I mean, and that's literally how it looks. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand how the religious right can stand up and cheer for something like Vladimir Putin.
Because they sold their soul already.
I just really That's don't know how they can do that.
Because they sold their soul. They sold their soul under Donald Trump.
I just don't
and
know.
So they, how do you get it back? When you've tainted the very people that you're supposed to be. You said you were shepherding. So how do you come back from that?
Well, is this when you go to confessional? You know, oh, you God, help that? Me, please. It's like, I can't help, but every time I see and hear a story, Ukraine, and the slaughter and the death of all the people, the soldiers and the families, and I just can't help but think about that, you know, just... The facts are, you all still love Trump. Trump loves Vladimir Putin. Whew, that's deep. That's deep. That's deep. That's deep. That's really, really deep. But the religious people... What's that? At me trying to be a cricket? I don't know. But I'm just like, okay, very, very... Very interesting. So, let's see how this thing is going to work out in the coming days with the Department, Tennessee Department of Education, as Governor Lee is giving hundreds of millions of dollars in tax money to get the taxpayer dollars to fund this charter school expansion that is run by Hillsdale College, Christian Liberal Arts School in Michigan. And they are going to bring their civic education and K-12 curriculum to our state. And we shall see what's in it, because I bet you there's a whole lot of revised history in it. Is the stories are not going to get told like we know them? Absolutely not. Oh, no, there's going to be a sanitization of American history. And our true history, the only way it's going to get taught and told is if we do it ourselves or take our children to places where they can learn it, like museums that are still allowed to have it in there, or someone in the family who can pass it on and pass it down. Because folks are trying to scrub it and sanitize it and bleach it where it doesn't even look like our country anymore. My, my, my. This is a diverse nation, and so it was in the beginning. Check the Bible. Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411? With Sharon Kay.